Those watching online, we welcome you today. All right, I've got one verse that we will kick this off with. This is from Joel chapter 2 and verse 25. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. Title for my message this morning is God's promise that says, I will restore. We serve an awesome God. Amen. He says, I will restore. Here in our text of Scripture, the prophet Joel is speaking on behalf of God to the nation of Judah. And the message is directed to the ancient Israelites. Hold on. All right. The message is directed to the ancient Israelites who were facing famine and devastation after God sent a plague of locusts to judge them for their sins. And for us today, this message or this passage serves as a powerful reminder of God's grace, His redemption, and His power to renew and restore. What did he say? I will restore. If you have ever lost something you thought you could never lose, if there has been a season in your life that came unexpected, that left you broken, that left you wondering whether God had forgotten the plans that he once whispered into your heart, then this word is for you today. What happened to you was not the end of your story. It was not the final chapter. It was not the period at the end of a sentence. It was simply a comma. And it's not a coincidence that you're here today. You're here by divine appointment. And the God who allowed the comma, listen, is already writing the next part of your story. Because the God you serve does not merely repair what was broken. He does not simply glue the pieces back together and hand you a patched up version of what you had before. He builds something entirely new. Something much better. Something that could not have existed, listen, without the breaking. And he has been doing this since the beginning of creation. Turning endings into beginnings, turning losses into launch pads, turning the worst chapters of human history into the staging grounds for his greatest acts of redemption. That's our God. And he's awesome, Brother Roy, and he's mighty. Yes. This word is also for anyone who is right now in a season that does not make sense. A season where the prayers feel unanswered, the promises feel distant, and the circumstances feel like they are moving in the wrong direction. This message is for you today. It is for those who have looked at their life and wondered whether God still has a plan or whether that plan has been derailed beyond recovery. You might want to write this down to remember later. God is never more active than when he appears to be silent. God is never more active than when he appears to be silent. In the life of a believer, one's restoration is not a maybe. It's not a possibility. It is a certainty. Because the God who began the work is the God who finishes it. And he does not abandon his projects. You got to know that. It's not optimism. It's not wishful thinking. It's a covenant certainty. Grounded in the character of a God who has never once failed to complete what he has started. And then here is where the enemy comes in and he does his most effective work, and it is not where most people expect. The enemy's greatest strategy, listen to this. The enemy's greatest strategy against the believer in a difficult season is not to increase the pain. It is to change the narrative. He takes the facts of your circumstance and he wraps them in a story that says, well, this is permanent. This is final. This is just who you are. God had a plan, but it just didn't work out. The best is behind you. You're just damaged goods. What you see now is all that there will ever be. I need you to hear me closely. And that narrative, if you accept it, does more damage than the circumstance itself. Why? Because the circumstance is temporary. But a wrong narrative that is believed and confessed, listen, becomes a prison that outlasts the situation that built it. Think about how many believers right now are living inside a narrative that the enemy constructed for them. They experienced a loss. They experienced a failure, even a health crisis, a financial collapse, a betrayal, and the enemy immediately showed up, not with a new attack, but with an interpretation. He said, see, God is not really in control of your life. Psalm 91 doesn't really work. God does not really care about you specifically. You must have done something wrong. So this is your punishment. This is your lot in life. You might as well accept it. Can you say not? Not. And because the enemy's interpretation arrived at a moment of maximum vulnerability, that being when the heart was broken and the defenses were down, guess what? It was received, sadly, as truth. It was absorbed in the identity, and years later, guess what? The circumstance may have passed, but that narrative remains. And the believer is still living inside the story that the enemy told them long ago in their weakest moment. Hear me on this. The enemy cannot destroy the believer. God has us in his hands. But Satan can come and he can deceive the believer into believing that he has been destroyed. And a believer who believes he is destroyed, listen, will live as though he is, even while possessing every resource of heaven. Let me say that again. A believer who believes that he is destroyed will live as though he is. And that is the power of a false narrative, not the power of that one circumstance. It's the power of the story you have accepted about the circumstance. And the first step towards recovery and restoration is to reject the enemy's lying narrative and receive God's word of truth about the situation. Can you say amen? Amen. Imagine with me this morning a farmer whose entire crop has been destroyed by a storm. The field is flat. The harvest is gone. and a voice whispers that the soil is dead. Nothing will ever grow here again. But the farmer who knows his land, who knows his soil, who knows the cycles of growth and dormancy, does not listen to that voice. He knows that the same soil that helped the destroyed crop is capable of producing a harvest that is even greater. The destruction did not change the quality of the soil. It only changed the surface. And beneath the surface, everything needed for a comeback is still there. Praise God. I feel a Holy Ghost shout coming on. Amen. That is the picture of your life right now. The storm may have flattened the visible crop, but the soil of your spirit, created in the image of Christ, filled, Brother Roy, with the Holy Ghost, endowed with a God kind of faith, that soil is unchanged. It is ready, and God is already preparing the next seed for the ground. Our scripture text here in Joel 2:25 is one of the most powerful restoration promises in the Bible. God says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, made my great army which I sent among you." Now, did you notice in this verse, God says He will restore the years, not the months, not the weeks, not the days, the years. The years that the locust ate, the years that disease consumed, the years that grief stole from us, the years that the enemy devoured while you stood helpless and watched. God says He will restore them. Not replace them with something different. Restore them. Make them as though the loss never happened. And guess what? That is not a vague promise. That is a specific, detailed covenant commitment from the mouth of Almighty God Himself. And notice the specifics of this promise. He names the destroyers. There's the locust, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. And each one of them represent a different kind of loss. Well, we look at the locust. The locust is the sudden, overwhelming devastation that comes seemingly out of nowhere. Have you ever had to deal with locusts? The cankerworm is that slow, creeping erosion that you did not notice until the damage had already been done. And then there's the caterpillar. The caterpillar is silent. He is the silent, hidden destruction that worked beneath the surface. And if those three wasn't bad enough, here comes the palmer worm, who is the final blow that finished off what the others started. And God names them all. And again, He is not vague about what He is restoring. He knows exactly what was taken, exactly how it was taken, and exactly what it will take to restore it. And His promise covers every category of our loss. That's our God. And I need you to hear this. There's nothing the enemy has stolen from you that is outside the scope of God's restorative power. The God of the rebound is not a God who simply feels sorry for your loss. How many have heard that? "I'm so sorry for your loss." He is a God who takes personal responsibility for your restoration. He does not delegate the restoration process to circumstances or to other people. No, he doesn't do it that way. He says, I will restore Brother Tony. He puts his own name on the project, Brandon. And when God puts his name on something, guess what? It's good as done. That is the confidence that you need in your current season. God has put his name on your individual rebound. He has personally committed to restoring what was lost. And he has never once broken that kind of commitment. Paul, in his letter from Romans 8:28, frames this in a new covenant language. Listen to what he says. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things. Can you say all things? Not just the good things. Not just the pleasant things. All things, including the losses, the failures, the betrayals, and the devastations. God is working them together. And the word together here is the Greek word synergio, from which we get the English word synergy. In other words, God is taking every piece of your broken season, the good pieces and the bad pieces, the victories and the defeats, and he is working them together into a result that is going to be good. Not good in general, not good in the abstract, but good for you specifically, good according to his purpose for your life. We serve an awesome God. And I want to tell you today, his purpose has not changed. It has not derailed. It was not derailed by your loss. It was not canceled by your failure. Just because you stepped in that cow paddy. It's still active. It's still operative. And it's still moving toward a completion. Philippians 1:6 confirms this without any doubt. Being confident of this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Woo. He will perform it. Not he might. He will, Brother Gary. The God who began the work in you the day you were born again has not stopped. He has not paused his work in you. He has not reconsidered. He is performing, executing, and completing the very work that he started in us. And your difficult season is not a sign that he has stopped. Understand, it is part of how he works. Because God does not build on undisturbed ground. Hear me now. He builds on ground that has been plowed. And plowing always looks like destruction before it produces a harvest. If you've ever walked a plowed field, you know what I'm talking about. God is the master builder, and he often demolishes before he constructs. The demolition is not punishment. It's preparation. He tears down what cannot hold the weight of what he's about to build. Are you with me this morning? And the believer who cooperates with the demolition, who trusts the architect, even when the building is coming down, watch this, will live in a structure that is greater than anything the old one could have been. It's going to be a whole lot better. Again, that's our God, and that's what he does. He tears down what cannot hold the weight of what he is about to build. and the loss you experienced may not have been the enemy's victory at all. It may have been God clearing the ground for something your old structure could have never supported. Consider the life of Joseph with me this morning. He was sold into slavery by his own brothers, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, thrown into prison for a crime he did not commit, forgotten by the cupbearer he had helped. Year after year of injustice and loss and apparent abandonment. And yet at the end of the story, Joseph stands before his brothers as the second most powerful man in the known world. And we find in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, we find him saying these words, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save many, much people alive." God meant it for good. Every pit, every prison, every betrayal, every forgotten promise. Listen, God was not absent during those years. He was building the recovery. And the recovery was so much greater than what Joseph lost that there is not even a comparison. Joseph did lose his brother's favor and gained a nation's salvation. He lost a coat of many colors and he gained a kingdom. And that's the nature of God's restoration plan. It does not merely return to you what you were. It takes you somewhere you could have never have reached without the breaking. And now you might just claim this verse for yourself. Isaiah 61:7. Here's what it says. "For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them." Double, not equal. Double. "For every measure of shame, a double measure of honor. For every season of confusion, a double portion of joy." And that is not some hope for down the road. That is a right now covenant promise spoken over your life, over my life, by the God who keeps every word that he speaks. And here is where this becomes even deeply personal. Because the rebound plan, the recovery plan, is not just about restoring things. It's about restoring you. It's about restoring me. Your confidence, your joy, your sense of purpose, your awareness of who you are in Christ. And the enemy's greatest theft during a difficult season is not the circumstance that he takes. It is the identity that he erodes. He uses the loss to convince you that you're less than who God says you are. He uses the failures to persuade you that you are disqualified. He uses the daily pain, both emotionally and physically, to suggest that God's promises do not apply to you anymore. He's a liar from the pit of hell. And if he can steal your identity, he does not need to steal anything else. Because a believer who has lost their sense of identity will not exercise ever again their authority. They will not confess the word and will not stand in faith for the restoration that is rightfully theirs. Why? Because they've lost their identity. They don't believe who they are, who they belong to. You have to know your identity in Christ is not determined by your circumstances. It is determined by the new birth. You hear me. You are still righteous. You're still a son or daughter. You're still filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. You're still seated in heavenly places. Nothing that has happened to you has changed what happened in you when you were born again. Are you with me so far? The enemy can take your comfort. He cannot take your identity. And as long as your identity is intact, guess what? The comeback is inevitable. It's going to happen. So here's the key. Guard your identity. Guard your heart. Guard your confession. Guard what you say about yourself during any season of loss. Because your identity is the soil from which the rebound grows. And if the soil is good, the harvest is going to come back, Brandon. And let me show you something else from Scripture that most people in a season of loss never consider. The restoration is not just for you. Here we go. It's for the people who will witness it. Your restoration is a testimony. It's the evidence. It's proof to everyone watching that the God you serve is faithful, that His covenant is real, and that no weapon formed against His children ultimately prospers. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. So what does he say? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Listen to me now. The weapons may form. The attack just may land on you. The loss may occur. But the weapon does not prosper. What do you mean, Pastor? It means it does not achieve its intended purpose. Why? Because God's purpose overrides the enemy's purpose every time. And your comeback, your rebound, your recovery is the evidence that the weapon failed. Praise God. Think with me a minute about what happened after Job's season of loss. Job lost everything. He lost his children, his wealth, his health, his reputation. Even his wife told him to curse God and die. His closest friends told him that the loss was his own fault. And for chapter after chapter, we see where Job sat in the ashes, covered in his sores, wrestling with questions that had no visible answers. But then God showed up. That's our God. That's what He does. And Job 42:10 records the turning point. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Look what Chris did. Prayed for those people, for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Twice as much. Double restoration. Not equal to what was lost. Double. And the verse that follows, 42:12, says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. What does it say? The latter end was greater than the beginning. The recovery surpassed the original. And that is the pattern. That is the nature of God's restoration in our lives. It does not merely return you to the baseline. It exceeds the baseline. And it does so in a way that makes the season of loss in hindsight a necessary prelude to the season of abundance. In Job's story, we find then a principle that applies to every believer in every generation. God does not waste suffering. He redeems it. He takes the very thing that was meant to destroy you or me, and He turns it into the platform from which He displays His greatest power. Why did he wait 4 days on Lazarus? Because he would get the glory. The restoration is always bigger than the loss because the God behind it is bigger than the enemy who caused it. Praise God. And that's the consistent, repeated, documented pattern of God's dealing with his people throughout the entire Bible. Abraham was told to sacrifice his son. And guess what happened? He received him back alive with a covenant of multiplication. David was hunted. He was betrayed. He was driven into caves and emerged as the greatest king Israel had ever knew. In our Wednesday night study on the book of Acts, we find the early church was scattered by persecution. And they used the scattering to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. In every case, the rebound was exponential greater than the loss. And your story will be no different. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Put your current season in eternal perspective. Here's what Paul wrote. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us more, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul calls it a light affliction. Not because the pain is not real. The pain was real. But because compared to the weight of glory that it's producing, the affliction is light. And guess what? It's momentary. It is for a moment. Yet, let me ask, doesn't it feel like forever when you're going through something like that? But from the vantage point of eternity, from the vantage point of the restoration that God is already engineering, it is a moment, it is a comma, a brief pause between what was and what is about to be. And here is what should permanently dismantle every narrative of defeat that the enemy has tried to build in your mind and my mind. God does not merely have a recovery plan waiting in the sidelines for you. He has already initiated it. It is not something that he's going to start someday when the conditions are right. He started it the moment the loss occurred. Are you hearing me this morning? While you were still grieving, he was already working. While you were still in confusion, he was already arranging. While you were still asking, why God? He was already answering with a plan that you could not see. Jeremiah 29 and 11 declares this, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He knows the thoughts he thinks toward us. They are thoughts of peace, not thoughts of punishment. He's not looking for ways to punish us when we mess up. And there's no thoughts of abandonment. Well, I'm just going to have to let them go on their own. No. Thoughts of peace. And they are directed toward an expected end, a planned outcome, a destination that is already prepared and that nothing in your current season can prevent you from reaching. God does not improvise. He does not scramble when things go wrong. Oh, I didn't see Brother Gary doing that. Oh my God, I got to do something different. Let me look in my closet, see what I got. No! He has known the end from the beginning. And his plan for your life includes the setback, the comeback, and the testimony that emerges from both. You're not behind schedule. You're not off track. You're exactly where the master builder needs you to be for the next phase of construction. This is not a cliche. That is a picture of a true and a real covenant, Brother Roy. The God who sees the end from the beginning placed you in this season with full knowledge of what He intends to build from it. And what He intends to build is something you cannot yet imagine, but will one day stand in awe of. So this morning, let this truth become the foundation that you stand on in this season. God has a restoration plan for you. It's not a maybe. It's a certainty. Why? Because it's backed by His covenant. It's fueled by His faithfulness. It's engineered by His wisdom. And it's already in motion. That's worth a stomp. Amen. So as I'm closing, the years of the locusts, the years the locusts ate will be restored. The shame will be replaced with double honor. The confusion will give way to everlasting joy. And the identity from the enemy that the enemy tried to erode will be reinforced, strengthened, and proven unshakable by the very season that was designed to destroy it. You're not at the end, you're at the comma. Amen. And the God who writes your story has already penned the next chapter. Well, let me think what I need to write about Him. I'm just not sure. I just don't know what this next chapter is going to be about. No, He's already got it written. And guess what? It's a chapter of restoration. Praise God. It is a chapter of authority. And it is a chapter that will make everything you have ever walked through worth what you dealt with. Can I just tell you, the God of the rebound does not ask for your help either. He don't need our help. But here goes. He asks for your trust. Amen. He does not need your strength. He needs your confession. Confess who He is. Confess who you are in Him. Confess the promises that He has made and watch the restoration unfold with a precision and a beauty that only the hand of God could ever produce. Trust and obey and watch the work unfold. That is what our posture needs to be. Not striving, not straining, not worrying, not full of anxiety, not fear, confessing and watching, because the God who began the work, guess what? He's going to finish it. He's already got the plan of restoration in place. And His finishes are always greater than His beginnings. So see your season not as an ending, but as a comma in the story that God is writing just for you. Praise God. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. Lord, you see every person in here. You see everything about our lives. Thank you, Lord. You see what we've been through. You've seen the years, God. You've seen the losses. You've seen the destruction. You've seen the hurts. You've seen the pain. You've seen the loneliness. You've seen the rejection. You've seen those that have talked about you. Lord, you've seen everything about our lives. And I thank you that your promise is so true for our lives as a believer. You promise to never leave us or forsake us. I thank you today for your word that you tell us you will restore. And you have restored for so many people in here today. They're walking testimonies of your restoration power. But Lord, there may be those in here today, and I believe there are, those maybe watching online that are still dealing with some things, have some questions about who they even are. So Lord, I thank you for your healing power. I thank you for your delivering power. I thank you for your recovery plan that's already in place for us. And you've already written our future out. You've written the next chapter. So I thank you today that we're not at that period in our lives. We're only at the comma. And Lord, I thank you because great things are ahead. And Lord, you told us that we can believe for great things. Brother Gary has already pressed it into our hearts. All we need to do is believe you. Believe your word. Stand on your word. Don't believe the narrative of the enemy. But we're going to believe the truth of your word that says who we are and to whom we belong. So thank you today, Lord. Do your work in our lives. Lord, I speak healing over the body today. I speak wholeness over the body. Everything that needs to be done, I thank you, Lord. And we acknowledge you because of who you are. We praise you. And we worship you, and I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I love you. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.